Welcome to a conversation with Master Chow. Questions being asked by Alan. And the subject for this recording is crystals. Alan, if you'd like to say hello for the recording.
Hello, everybody.
Great. Next voice you hear will be Master Chow. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Master Chow.
So, what are we talking about this time?
Well, today's subject is crystals.
Oh, okay. I'll do my best.
Thank you. Right, okay. So, what is a crystal? I mean, what are they made of and how are they formed?
I did say I would do my best. So, bear in mind this is not a subject I am by any means an expert in. So, I will give you what I can. From what I understand, they are formations made out of minerals that are found within the earth, but also within the vastness of space, that are compressed under pressure to create different chemical structures which form different crystalline structures. Crystalline being the matrix formation of which way the structure is. Often they are opaque and translucent. They come in various colors depending on the mineral compositions within them, the elements that have been forged. And also, I think the pressure at which they were forged under also changes the colour somewhat. They're mostly found deeper in the earth where the crust created the pressure as the planet was formed and also through various impacts that have gone on, volcanic activity, tectonic activity. So they are, if you like, they are some of the bounty within the deepest parts of the earth. So the flowers, if you like, of the substructure.
Okay, thank you. I mean, do crystals have any important relationship to Mother Earth that we generally don't know about as human beings? I mean, obviously they're there for a purpose. I mean, we just take them out and use them for our own purposes. But are we depriving Mother Earth in some way by doing this?
I wouldn't have said depriving, because bear in mind there are a lot much deeper down that you can't get at. So the very deepest ones would be the ones that would probably be more detrimental to her if you removed. So the ones that are within the surfaces that you can find, they are beneficial to both of you. And even by you having them, they still provide a benefit for her if you are treating them with respect. If you are diminishing them in the way you use them, then you're diminishing how they can help Mother Earth. But if you are using them for the benefit, then it can benefit her as well.
Okay, right, thank you. Now, is there such a thing as crystal energy? I mean, do crystals have their own energy, or do they need to be charged from an external source, such as the sun or the moon, or perhaps by human energy?
Both. So everything within your planet has its own life force, its own energy system within it. And certain materials, would be the best word here, hold that energy better than others. So living material, like plants, give off their energy very quickly. So they need constantly to have it replenished. So as you would say, the sunflower needs the sun. So because they are releasing it very quickly. Crystals have their own energy within them and they don't release it as quickly. But you can drain it off of them very quickly. So they have an energy of their own, but because they're giving it to you when you're working or you're draining it from them through what you're using them for, or just because you've exposed them to the air and the elements, because when they're deep down in the earth, they're almost contained, yes, you can then give them back energy, charge them back up, and even charge them beyond where they were to start with things like solar energy, moonshine. I mean the light from the moon, not the beverage, and also your own physical energy. So they start with their own energy, and you can give them energy.
Right, okay. And presumably if you give them energy in one of the ways that you've described, then that energy takes on, does it take on the characteristics of the crystal?
It's a little bit of both the characteristics of a crystal, but also the characteristics of the energy you're giving it. So obviously solar energy being warmer, being more fiery, being more creative, moon being more associated with water. So it's more metaphoric, it's more also metamorphosis. There's a lot more shift and change with moon energy as opposed to sun energy. If you're giving it your own energy, again, that limits what that energy can be used for because it's yours. So it's your characteristics, overlaying and blending with the characteristics of the actual crystal.
Right, okay. Okay. Now, is it useful to think of crystals as belonging to family groups, as defined by their colour, with general characteristics for each colour group?
No, not so much with crystals. Need to look more. So crystals within a group, so all your jaspers, for instance, will have a commonality, but they are all multiple colours. So colour isn't always the best indicator here. The type of crystal structure, does it sit in the beryl family, the jasper family, and so on, will then give you more groupage. Colour, not necessarily so. It has an importance. You need to understand how the colour changes things, but you wouldn't group by colour. So all blue crystals are not going to all do the same thing.
Right, right. Yeah, I was thinking in terms of perhaps a common underlying theme for example, blue crystals.
No. Again, the crystals can have a lot of variation.
Right, okay. So what are the range of things that crystals can be used for? I mean, the obvious ones that come to mind are protection, grounding, healing, prosperity, writing, meditation, chakra work perhaps, divination, possibly assisting in supporting communication with spirit guides.
You've done quite a long list there. Let's start with the easy one.
Okay.
They're just beautiful to look at.
Mm.
So don't underestimate the power of actually just having them as beautiful objects, because beautiful objects create a response in you, a reaction in you that's very quiet. And that's also very important. It's why you have art. It's because it creates a reaction in you that can be healing, can be calming. So firstly, their aesthetic appeal. Before you worry about them doing anything else, aesthetically, they can do a lot for you to calm, to just soothe, seemingly without doing anything at all. And then, yes, what you mentioned, healing, protection, changing energy around you, bringing it in, removing it, working with spirit, working to heal yourself, to heal others, working on helping you with your communication, with prosperity, helping you remove some things from your energy system. So not cures for physical ailments, but definitely things that are blocked or holding in your energy, so in your aura, crystals can assist with that. You can make elixirs from them that help with things within the body system itself, so aiding healing at a physical level, but not of necessarily your big physical illnesses. I wouldn't want to mislead that they were a cure for those, but definitely helping you deal with how you are dealing with those conditions. Very good on psychological, emotional, but really energetic and spiritual issues are where their forte is.
Right, okay. So how should a crystal be chosen? I mean, do you need to hold the crystal and see how it reacts to you? And how can you tell if a crystal is not suitable for you?
Ideally, you cannot beat good old-fashioned touch.
Mm.
So where possible, look at it first. What is your eye drawn to? You know, you will instinctively be drawn to something. So your body, almost your energy, will guide your eye line. So go first with where did your eyes fall? What did you see first? Then touch it and hold it. Obviously with the permission of the person you're buying it for. Some get a little bit touchy. They don't like you to touch. So always ask for permission. But then if you can, hold it between both hands and just be quiet. Now that can be quite a challenge for some of you. So just breathe. And how do you feel? Really pay attention to how you are feeling and what you are feeling. From an emotional point of view, but also a sensory point of view. Is there warmth? Is there coolness? Is there butterflies? Do you feel suddenly calmer? Do you feel a bit more uptight? Is there a tension suddenly in your body? Has your mind suddenly gone somewhere else and you're suddenly thinking about what am I cooking for Sunday dinner? Notice your reaction. If it's positive, then there's something there that crystal wants to work with you for. If it's negative, absolutely put it back. If it's neutral, so nothing happens, put it back. There's nothing it can do for you in this moment. Now, you could buy it just because you like the look of it. And maybe later on, it might want to do something with you. That's always an option with neutral. But even if you like the look of it and you get any sort of negative response, absolutely put it back. Because at this time, you and that crystal, no, not a good match. It's a bit like dating. You know, put it back, there'll be another one along in a minute. But eyes first. Look at them with your eyes first. What are you drawn to? Then touch.
Listen
to what you experience when you hold it.
Okay. So how should a crystal be cleansed and charged? I mean, could you explain the logistics of charging a crystal, let's say, by using the sun or the moon?
Yes, cleaning depends a bit on the crystal itself. Mostly running it under a cold water tap to rinse off any dust or dirt that's on the surface. But do check the type of crystal it is, because some are water soluble. So obviously those you would not do that with. So like selenite comes to mind, that one dissolves in water. So you would wipe those over with a cloth, just to get any surface dirt. Then you can cleanse the crystal with white light to remove any energetic dirt that you can't see. So that will be calling down the white light from spirit, washing it over and through the crystal, the same as you can do your own aura, to remove any energy that's on it or in it that is not for the highest good of you or the crystal. So that cleans it. Now then charging it then depends on what you want to use it for. So whether it's sun or moon energy would depend on the crystal, what does it have an affinity, and the what are you going to use it for. So if you were doing emotional healing, you might prefer moon energy to sun because you want to be calmed and soothed. If you want to use it for something creative, then sun energy, which is more fiery, more passionate, might be better. And again, you would then just set it out where it can receive that light during a 24-48-hour period. Now, bear in mind, crystals can refract sunlight, so be careful, you don't want to start any fires. So you don't want it to act as a prism and burn a hole in something. It can sit in a room and just gather the energy from the sun coming in through a window in a gentle way. Okay? Equally, you could ask the white light to fill it with additional energy for the purpose that you want to use it for. And you would also be talking to the crystal about how you would like it to help you, what you would specifically like it to help you with. Even if that's just creating calmness in your home, which is quite a small request, right the way through to helping you maybe with your communication, with speaking to others, or helping you with any sort of block you might have in yourself or your thinking. So tell the crystal, talk to the crystal, treat the crystal with respect.
I mean, are the crystals that generally require one type of energy as opposed to another? So for example, they want lunar energy or solar energy.
There will be some that might prefer one over the other. As I say, I am not an expert in this field. But I think, you know, use your instincts. And if you are buying the crystal from a good retailer, they will be able to give you a lot of information about the crystal and its benefits and also its affinities. But most crystals would take either.
Right, okay. Now, what about recharging a crystal from time to time? Because obviously, once it's been charged, that's only going to last for so long. So typically, what would be the recharge cycle?
Depends a lot on how much you are using it and what for. If it's something quite intense and you're holding it and sitting with it on a daily basis, you probably want to be charging that weekly or fortnightly. If it's something that's a bit bigger and it's sitting in a space, maybe monthly or 6-monthly. It really will depend on what you are using it for and how big the crystal is and how much it can hold to start with. So there isn't a precise equation there for that. You need to use your instincts.
Okay. Well, can a spirit guide or an angelic energy charge a crystal for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Angelics probably would have more fun doing it than your ordinary main guide. Main guide might look at you going, really? I don't have enough to do. But yes, guardian angel probably would have more fun with that.
Right, okay. Okay. But so would you just bother, make a request for them to do that?
Absolutely. I wouldn't bother the archangels. Again, they've got quite a lot to do. But if it was protection, perhaps, then asking Michael, yes, it would fit in his remit of what he's mostly busy doing, so he wouldn't mind. But if it was a little bit frivolous, then perhaps, you know, your guardian angel will do a fantastic job for you.
Right,
and also, some crystals don't need it so much. So black obsidian, for instance, doesn't need charging. So your black crystals tend to not need it.
Right, right. Well, that brings me on nicely to the next question. I was asking about situations where a crystal should not be charged. One example of this would be, for example, using a crystal like green fluorite to absorb electromagnetic pollution. Absolutely. Coming off electrical devices.
It doesn't need it because you're using it as a sponge. So things that you want to suck up energy, you wouldn't need to charge.
Right, right.
But you do need to clean them often to get it out. Yes? Black obsidian, black tourmaline, you don't need to charge. Because they are, again, self-absorbing, so they don't need charging. Sometimes the metallic-looking ones, galena, you don't need to charge. Hematite, you don't need to charge. So it's mostly if you think the ones that you can see through have any sort of translucency or opacity, those ones you tend to need charge. Ones that are, you can't see through, like the black crystals or the metallic-looking crystals, they tend to not need charging. But they still all need some sort of cleaning. Galena is one of those odd ones. It really doesn't need very much at all. So if you care for it, you really don't need to do charging or cleaning with that very much.
Okay. So what would be the cleaning cycle typically?
White light again. Same as what you did at the beginning when you got it. Sometimes also putting it into a bowl of salt. The salt will then absorb the energy and you tip the salt away. Sometimes water, but that tends to not be strong enough for most energies. So white light will do, salt will do. You can also bury crystals back into the earth if they've been overused and they need to just heal themselves. Again, it doesn't suit all types of crystals, so you would have to check with the particular structure you were dealing with.
So if you were using salt, for example, would you use perhaps a small bowl of salt and leave it overnight?
Overnight, for a week, depends on what you've been using it for. But always remember to dispose of the salt. Put it down the toilet. Toilets are very useful for these sorts of things. Flush it away, get rid of it. The salt itself would be dirty.
Right, right. Okay, thank you. Now, how do you communicate with the crystal? I mean, is this mainly done through the use of thought energy?
Yes.
I mean, could you describe an effective procedure for communicating with the crystal?
Just don't overthink about it. It's just thought energy. So you can talk out loud to it, or you can talk it to it in your mind. But it's like everything. Address it to the crystal. That's what you're looking at. That's what you're directing your thought to. If you do that, crystal will hear you. Crystal will respond.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
They're not very complicated when it comes to that. They're slightly one-dimensional in that sense. I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that, you know, they aren't overcomplicated. You know, if you say hello, it'll say hello back. If you give it a thought, it'll acknowledge the thought. It's, you know, some things are a little bit, you have to woo them. You know, so things made of trees, ogams and things, you have to woo those. You know, you have to work with them for a while to get them to trust you. Crystals are much more straightforward.
So if you want to communicate with a crystal, should you hold it in the palm of your hand?
Holding it is good, having it between your feet. If you're sitting cross-legged on the floor just in front of you. So somewhere, it depends on the size of the crystal. You know, if it's big, you don't want it in your hand, that's heavy. So around you, in front of you, on a table in front of you, you want to be within sort of a foot, foot and a half proximity, depending on the size of the crystal.
Right, okay. Now, what about the practicalities of using a crystal? Are there any important issues relating to where the crystal is placed in a room, for example, or where it is carried on a person?
Where you carry it on the person, again, comes to what it is doing. So if you want it help with grounding, trouser pockets or shoes. Well, shoes sometimes can be uncomfortable, but you know, in your sock on your leg.
Yeah.
Because you want it below the waist if you want it to help you ground, or sit with it in between your feet when you're watching the telly. If you're using it for healing, you might lay down and place the crystal approximately in the location of what you want the healing for. If you want to help your third eye, you might place it on the brow, for instance. So it does depend on what you want the crystal to help you with. Or you just have it in the room and let it quietly just be influencing you all the time you're in that room. Again, don't overthink it. A lot of you actually put your crystals in your jewelry and don't even remember they're there. So if you're having problems with communication and you want help with speaking, lapis lazuli or turquoise around your neck, very good.
Mm.
So it doesn't even have to be ornamental. It can be adorning. Rings, again, you'd want to look at which finger it was on, what that finger represented. You'd want to do a lot more research if you were going to ask the crystal for help rather than purely being aesthetic. Same with wrists. Left and right would have different significances. But a lot of the time holding it, having it in the room with you. Healers, mediums often have crystals in their rooms to help cleanse the energy but also attune the room to its purpose. Labradorite, very good for protection and negative energy. Very good in the room when you're a spiritual worker of healing, mediumship, psychic, any of these. Labradorite is a good one to have in your room. Amethyst, obviously, because it is attuned to spiritual energy. Most people who have crystals will have a piece of rose quartz somewhere, because you all know that's to do with love. So if you want to promote love, having a piece of rose quartz around your home is obvious. What I would say about those people is they probably don't clean their rose quartz enough.
Right.
Because often it's made into tea light holders. And then they see it as a piece of furniture and they don't care for it enough. So you might put a piece of rose quartz in the bedroom if you've instilled it with helping with intimacy in your relationship and ensuring loving communication when you're in the bedroom. You just leave it on the sideboard, on the mantelpiece, to just quietly keep instilling that room with the energy. So you can use them very simply, or you can be more complex. So for instance, selenite makes a very good grid for protection and energy enhancement in the rooms, and you put a piece in the four corners and then they are charged to work together to create a grid. That's somewhat more complex. You'd want to know that those crystals were the right ones for you and that was the right purpose for you. So there are loads of books that can help you with that, loads of wonderful teachers who can teach you about that. So they can be very simple, just in the room where you want that energy, about your person. You can sit with them and hold them or build grids with them. So you'll often see crystal healers will lay them around the person that they're healing, different colors to resonate with the chakras or what they're trying to heal.
Right. What's your opinion about crystal pouches? You know, because some people carry these things around and they have a lot of small crystals together in a pouch.
The thing about the small crystals in the pouches, they often can be cancelling each other out if you're not careful.
Yeah, I was thinking that, yeah.
And also they're smashing against each other. Is that really the nicest way of treating the crystals? So it's easy, but I think perhaps not always the most effective way of using them. Carry one crystal that has meaning rather than lots because you think you should. Less is more, I would say. From a point of view of aesthetics, they're very beautiful things, and then more becomes more. From a point of view of therapeutic or working with them, less is more. And that's why sometimes crystals come and go. They disappear of their own accord. So sometimes you'll have one and it'll suddenly vanish. That's because someone else needs it and the crystal has vamooshed. So that does happen. Crystals can appear and disappear. So they have a little bit of their own life when it comes to that. And also it's nice sometimes when you have one and you know it's no longer what you need to gift it. Clean it first. Gift it to someone who might need it. Allow it to move on to a person who has a need. Crystals do like to be needed. So they like to be appreciated, but they also like to be needed.
Right, okay. Now, what is the role of crystals in healing, would you say?
Enhancing, amplifying, focusing energy. So they can change the vibration, they can make it more, you know, the idea of a laser is light passing through a diamond, through a type of crystal. So they can create focus, they can amplify, they can also slightly deviate the energy to the resonance within the crystal. So a bit like changing the frequency of it, the harmonics of it. Bigger crystals are better for that, though. The smaller ones won't make much of a shift. So they can do lots of things with healing energy.
Okay. I mean, are there particular health problems that crystals are particularly suited to?
Anything sitting in the spiritual, so sitting in the block, sitting in working with your chakras, through to emotional issues, they're quite good. As you get more and more down into the physical, you know, so you wouldn't necessarily hold a crystal if you had a broken bone.
Mm.
Not so good. But your emotional, things that sit with a slightly more energetic edge to them, the crystals will be able to help.
Right, okay.
To lesser or greater degrees, but they will be able to help.
I mean, can crystals assist or support spiritual healing?
Yes.
Oh, right, okay.
So by calming the room, by creating an amplifier within the room, or even holding the healing energy to pass from one person to another.
Mm.
So yes, they can help within spiritual healing, yes.
Right, okay. I mean, how do you view the use of crystal balls in scrying?
Well, that's an older-fashioned technique, and you can use black obsidian mirrors. Any sort of surface that is either very dark or very clear can be used for divination purposes. So it's a focal point for it, because the crystal is willing. The crystal likes to be needed. It likes to help. So it enjoys participating in these sorts of activities.
Yeah, I mean, it does appear that some people doing this, of course, are also using the crystal as a speculum, which helps to reduce a trance state. Do you think that could be a problematic issue for some people?
I don't think it's necessary to help create a trance state.
Right. So we can work without trance?
I don't think you need a crystal to enter into an altered state of consciousness.
Hmm. Okay. So,
no, I can see that they might be used in meditation as a focal point to look at.
Mm.
But that's a candle flame or a teddy bear on a cupboard would do exactly the same thing. The crystal in that instance isn't actually doing anything on you. It's just being an object to take your attention into.
Right.
So I wouldn't have thought it helped very much with the altered state.
Okay, right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say about crystals?
I think don't overuse them. I think sometimes people get a little carried away. You know, less is more. Enjoy the ones you have. Use the one you have. Have a relationship. Treat it with respect. Clean it, cleanse it, look after it. You know, make sure it's being kept somewhere where it's being respected. Don't throw it in the back of a drawer. You know. But also don't be afraid to use them as tools. They are tools. They like to be needed. So one of the ones I often do with clients when I'm talking to them, if they work in very negative office spaces, so many of you work in these negative office spaces. And it's mostly because they're never energetically cleaned. You know, they're barely properly cleaned and they're never energetically cleaned. So you can use crystals on your desk to help create a better ambience around you. So it wouldn't cover a very large area, but it would cover your desk. And what I usually say to clients there is it's a good trick is to sellotape them underneath the desk where no one sees them. So no one asks you any questions about them. No one touches them, which is important. But they can quietly do the work to create a calmer, nicer atmosphere around you. Either because they're absorbing negative energy that's flying around the office so you don't have to. Or they're creating calm or they're helping with communication. So they are working tools. Think of them as tools. How can this help me? What do I need? And what crystal would best resonate with that? So they are good to use, you know. So worry beads, if you think prayer beads, these are all being used to help calm the mind, calm the body, ease the soul, ease your energy. Crystals can be used in similar sorts of ways. So worry stones made out of crystals to give you a focus. So just think about what your need is. And for a lot of those sorts of needs, there will be a crystal out there that will be very good for that situation.
Okay. I mean, can your guides help you find the right crystal for you?
Your guides can help you once you know the sort of type of crystal you want. So with crystals, always do a bit of research. No, that's not fair. You can go either way. Do the research and then know what type of crystal you want, and then your guides can help you choose a particular one. So is it this one or that one of the same type? Mm-hmm. But also sometimes just walk into a shop and go, okay, show me where to go. And let your guides and your soul lead you to the right shelf and the right basket of them or whatever. So you can do it either way.
Okay.
But a lot of the shops that sell the crystals, the people there are very knowledgeable. So don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to say, you know what, I have this problem. Is there a crystal you have that could help me? Most people who sell crystals are very genuine about it. Crystals wouldn't have it any other way.
Mm.
It's very hard to be disingenuous around crystals if you have a lot of them around you. So most people who sell crystals have the best interests of the crystals at heart. So we'll help you find the right one, because they don't want the crystal to be unhappy either.
Mm.
You don't want an unhappy crystal. It could be very jarring to other things around you. So likewise, if you have a crystal, don't try to keep it for life. Coming and going, in and out of your life, as the need is there. Very important.
And how would you know it was time to release a crystal?
You're no longer noticing it. You haven't dusted it or charged it in a while. You know, think a bit. It's a bit like clothes. There's a good technique with clothes. If you haven't worn them for a year, why do you still have them?
Mm.
It's a bit the same with crystals. If you haven't talked to it even in a year, why do you still have it? Ask yourself, do I still need this? Could this help someone else? Could I pass this on to someone? Don't throw it away, though. If you don't need it, gift it. Mm. If you don't need it, give it to a charity shop who might sell it to someone for a tiny amount of money. Give it back to Mother Earth and bury it in your garden, maybe, depending on what crystal it was. Leave it on a park bench for someone to find who needs it. So if it no longer is something you need, let someone else have it. Let the crystal carry on being useful. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Good. So I think that's everything I can say about crystals. And I say, not really a strong subject for me. So apologies that I don't have more detail. You know me, I do like my detail, and I appreciate this isn't a subject I have a lot of detail about. But I hope the small things I've mentioned are useful to the people.
Oh, yes, I think it'll be very useful information.
Good. Okay. So, on that note then, if there's nothing else, I say goodbye. And
yes, goodbye. Thank you for coming.
That's the end of the conversation about crystals. Thank you for listening, and I hope you find it useful.